This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This producer!
Gwen and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah. I mean, pays to have a good offense. Hung a pitch to a really good hitter, which sucks, but bullpen was incredible, and a W is a W.
This is the kind of thing you guys were talking about around the trade deadline. It's like, we just got this bullpen for this. Like, to have it work out like that tonight, you know, always not
pretty nice. Yeah, we talked about it basically for the whole second half. If you could leave the game with a lead, you almost knew it was going to be locked down. And if you did give up runs early, to keep it right there was a huge thing for us, because we know that our bullpen's going to put up zeros and we can come back. So it was very impressive to watch them go those last four innings.
Michael King, last night, 5 innings, 5 runs, the best 5-inning, 5-run performance of his career. He retired the final 8 batters he faced after the grand slam set the stage for the Padre bullpen to finish things off. The Padres retired 20 of the last 21 Dodger hitters last night. Freddie Freeman's 2-out single in the 8th inning was the only base runner the Dodgers got. The rest of the way, Robert Suarez would come in and finish out a 4-out save to give the Padres a 2-1 lead in the NLDS. That means tonight could be the clincher for the Padres. I think every single San Diego Padre fan right up and down the line is thinking that, yes, tonight is going to be the clincher. But as I said, the Dodgers are not going to step aside. Padres are going to have to go out and take it. They're going to have to play one more brilliant game here tonight. And then hopefully they will, come out on top. And if you are wondering about the National League Championship Series, should the Padres get there and win tonight, the NLCS is not due to start until Sunday. Regardless of what happens, if the Mets were to win today over the Phillies, New York would come here. And if the Phillies were to come back in the series, the Padres would have to go to Philadelphia for Game 1 there on Sunday. But Sunday will be Game 1 of the NLCS for those looking ahead. But I know we're all smarter, Scraby, than to look ahead right now. You know what I mean? You just can't afford to do it with this Dodger club.
I had to remind myself on the drive home last night, basically right, the whole 45 minutes home, this series isn't over. This series isn't over, even though it feels that way. We've seen this kind of before. It's you don't want to fall asleep, which the Padres are not doing.
They're not making that mistake. If the Dodgers beat them tonight, they're going to beat them because they beat them, not because the Padres fell asleep. I can guarantee you that.
Yes.
Game number four gets started a little after 6 o'clock. Shohei Ohtani, 3 hours and 4 minutes from now, we'll step into the batter's box.
Chris, take a look at the screen for the YouTube. If you want to watch us on YouTube, just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah.
Shohei is
on the screen.
Oh. Shohei is three batters away, everybody.
That's what you've been loving, man, this whole time. This is rankled Scraby like nothing I think I've ever seen before. He's so upset that they keep giving Shohei this kind of coverage.
I haven't seen the actual TV broadcast in the last two games because I've watched... Actually, Sunday I didn't really see the broadcast, but I know on Saturday they put up that graphic every 5 minutes.
No, they put it up throughout the series. So,
okay.
You know, you can, I think you have a right to be rankled, but in my mind, it's very explainable. Now, speaking of the TV coverage, and we're going to get to Jake Cronenworth's pregame press conference here in just a moment, so stick around for that. But speaking of the TV coverage, did you see, Scraby? I know you did, even though you were at the game. Did you see that the Padres told Ken Rosenthal, get the hell out of here?
I don't know if
he did not
do
any in-game interviews with the Padres. He did not do any post-game interviews with the Padres. The on-field interview with Fernando Tatis Jr. after the game last night was conducted by Joe Davis and John Smoltz up in the booth. Further post-game interviews with the Padres were conducted by Alex Rodriguez and Jeter and those guys and David Ortiz in the studio. And we come to find out that the Padres indeed put a one-game kibosh on Ken Rosenthal. Now, I'm going to give the Padres a little credit here. Scraby, I don't know about you, but I feel like the Padres are a bigger man than I am because I don't think I would just leave it at a one-game thing.
Just forever?
Yeah, I would just say, no, we don't want this guy anywhere around us. But the Padres are proving to be a bigger man than me, bigger man than you, and they're going to, you know, let him come back and do his job tonight. They feel like they've made their point.
And you know what? They are handled. I love how this team handles things. Like with the whole Dave Roberts thing, Manny just said, let's play game three. This one, they put a quiet kibosh on Ken Rosenthal, and then he's going to be back tonight, and no one's going to ask him questions about, oh, did you guys ban Ken Rosenthal? It's just like they're being professionals, and I think that's a really good sign.
Yeah, like I said, they're bigger than I am because I would hold this grudge for a while. Ken Rosenthal. We talked about everything he wrote yesterday. I still think it'd be difficult if I'm Jerks and Profar, and he said that I'm like the guy who pulls the fire bell and then says, who, me?
Yeah.
I think it would be difficult to sit down and go, you know, with him during the game and give him an interview. I do.
He was in the clubhouse last night getting sound after the game, and there was a few videos on our Twitter, at 97.3TheFanSD, where you could see Ken Rosenthal in the background. And so he's not afraid. I'll give him that because I've never criticized an athlete to the extent that Ken Rosenthal did, but I've, you know, been nervous before, and it's not easy to walk in somewhere after you've talked about someone and you know that they know what you said about them.
Yeah. I mean, it's all right there in, you know, black and white in ink, right? Or whatever. It's not ink anymore.
Yeah. It's screen ink.
Screen ink. Thank you. I mean, everybody can see what he wrote. So, you know, there's no hiding it. And Padres did put the one game moratorium on Ken Rosenthal, but they are going to lift that tonight. They are going to be the bigger man.
Do you think, though, because there is a big, I've seen this a lot, and it's not just from Padres fans, but I do think that Fox maybe should have sent Ken Rosenthal, Fox maybe should have sent Joe Davis, I'm sorry, to the Philadelphia-New York Mets game because he is the Dodgers announcer. Now, I don't feel like Joe Davis has been too Dodger-friendly or anything like that. But there needs to be some sort of unbiased opinion, don't you think? And even if Joe Davis is the consummate professional, there's still somewhere deep down inside of him that wants to see the Dodgers win.
Maybe so. I will say this, and I'm going to go back to when I was growing up, and the only way you could watch a game was on the, you know, the network game of the week, etc. The World Series was then carried by NBC, and the guy's name was Kurt Gowdy. And he was legendary to me and legendary Hall of Fame broadcaster. But he was also the voice of the Red Sox. And I don't ever think I even noticed that in listening to Kurt Gowdy. Vin Scully did the World Series for years and years. He was, of course, the Dodger announcer. Don't think anyone begrudged hearing Vin Scully do those games. So I know what you're saying, Scrabe, but I think Joe Davis has done a really excellent job. I do think Fox, honestly, should have at the very least, you know, called out Ken Rosenthal for writing that article when he's covering this series.
Yeah, that's a
I think it almost makes them look bad.
It does. You're trying to provide an unbiased environment, and you can't when one guy just said that the guys are punkish and one looks like a dancing peacock.
Oh, boy.
And I don't understand why it's so bad to be a dancing peacock.
Sounds kind of fun.
It does.
You know, Fernando didn't seem to mind.
No.
All right. One guy that also helped last night was Jake Cronenworth. We talked about Jake really struggling, hadn't had a hit in the postseason. You know, came through with a couple of big hits last night. And I think that, you know, Jake gave us an idea of what makes the Padres tick. Because he knows he's not hitting great right now, so he himself is not playing hero ball. Instead, took what he could get, lined a couple of hits the other way, helped the team to a victory. Here's Jake Cronenworth in his pregame press conference today.
Our lockers, it's just...
Sorry, that was at the end. I need to hit the home button.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
Hey, Jake, coming into yesterday, you had struggled a little bit at the plate with hitting, but you got a couple of hits yesterday. How good did it feel to get back on track?
No, it felt great. I said it last night in an interview, it's the playoffs, and every day you start 0-0, so just takes one game, and, yeah, feel good.
We'll go to Mark in the third row in the middle here.
When a pitcher like Cease takes the ball on short rest for the first time, just the fact, obviously, he's talented, but what does that signal to you as a teammate and other teammates when a guy's willing to do something that he's not used to doing or comfortable doing, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, for him to do that, it's huge for us. Obviously, he's one of our big guys, and for him to do that in short rest shows what this team means to him and what he wants to do.
We'll go to Sam, straight back. Sam on the other side. Sam.
Hey, Jake, facing Ryan Brazier on the mound, bullpen day for the Dodgers, how does that impact preparation approach when you're facing that kind of situation in a postseason game?
Yeah, so Brazier's starting, so obviously more than likely going to be a bullpen day. So just taking a look at all the guys, kind of, you know, where your spot's at in the lineup, matchups you might see in certain situations. But we've seen them a lot and familiar with their bullpen, so kind of have a good idea going into tonight.
You guys have put together a lot of innings like you had in the second last night, stringing hits together. A couple of guys come up with run-scoring hits. How would you characterize what this offense has been really all year, that ability to string hits together?
Yeah, I think it's just the consistency of the quality at bats. Some nights you see it more than others, like last night where it's, you know, it seemed like it was eight in a row. You know, other nights you see it where you got four or five in a row and you don't get anything. But, you know, they've been there. I mean, the guys compete their butts off, and, you know, it seems like the at bats up and down the lineup, no matter what the situation is, are great.
Go to Julian on the left side.
Jake, kind of looking back at 2 years ago, that single you had that scored two runs and propelled you guys, probably one of the most iconic singles in franchise history, to kind of look at your own career 2 years later and to be in the same position against the same team, you know, just can you talk about the growth that you've had and potentially slaying the dragon once again?
I think it's, you know, you go through different experiences throughout your career against different teams, and it just happens to be that we're playing, you know, the same guys again. But no, I mean, it's something, you know, I look back on and learn and, you know, kind of tap into at certain points throughout the game. And, you know, just as we do in all of our jobs, we learn from our past experiences and use those to kind of push us forward going forward.
We'll go to the back left.
Hey, Jake, what have you seen from Dylan just kind of as a competitor? He seems like the type of guy that, like, wants to be tested, is up for a challenge.
100%. And I think that's, you know, you know, kind of what you see today with him. No, he's the guy. He wants the ball every time he's out there, every fifth day. Obviously, today is now the third day. But no, that's who Dylan is, man. He wants to go out there and, you know, put himself in the position to help our team win.
And Jason Adam just said that he's never been around a group that's as sold out on winning as this one, and everybody's celebrating whether or not they're involved with what's going on. You've been around for a while. Have you seen that kind of grow and develop? Because it seems like it's at a different level this season.
Yeah. You know, it's not something that, you know, was started in spring training or started those first few weeks. It's something that's kind of grown organically throughout the season. And, you know, kind of what I said earlier, you know, it's something that guys are looking back on past experiences from earlier this year, and it seems like everybody on the roster right now has had a big hit or made a big defensive play or made a big pitch in a big spot for us. And, you know, I think that's what's made us so close and made this such a family.
AJ?
Jake, you praised Manny last night for that base running play. I'm wondering, like, how long you have worked on that play and what you do to combat it from the other side as a first baseman, like how you work on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very instinctual play. You know, teams work on it every year in spring training. You work on it when you're in the minor leagues. You work on it when you're in college. You know, it's a baseball play, but, you know, when the moment's happening and things are going fast, you know, it's up to the player's instincts to make the decision on whether to do it or not. And obviously Manny being a very high IQ baseball player and, you know, having the instincts to make that play in that spot, you know, started that inning for us basically.
And from a first base standpoint, like what do you do to counter that? And can you, I guess, when you
try not to throw it in his back? I don't know. Try to get it over him. No, it's tough. I mean, it's a tough play, especially how fast the game moves.
Bryce?
Hey, Jake. Joe, during the wild card round, talked about how 2022 and this season felt different. There was a lot of success then, obviously, and you guys are in position to potentially have that type of success again. But he said the overarching feel was very different to him. What's your sense of things? And if you agree, what are those differences?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the bigger things and kind of the characteristics this team compared to that team showed, you know, if you look at 22, and we didn't have the greatest second half. I think we were 18-18 or something right after the trade deadline. And, you know, we really didn't have a good little stretch there until I think we had a Friday night game in Arizona where we lost. And we ended up having a good run. I think we went 15-3 in the last 18 games. But I think this team specifically, like, this has been kind of the way we play, and the at-bats and the pitching and the defense has been brewing the entire season, where it seemed like that year was kind of just that last 2 weeks that kind of propelled us into the position that we were in. Where we're at now has kind of been a culmination of the entire season.
Bob?
Jake Cronenworth there, his pregame press conference here at Petco Park just a short time ago. Jake and the Padres going after the series tonight. Game number 4 of the National League Divisional Series. Ryan Brazier will be the opener. So the Dodgers go bullpen game, and the Padres go with Dylan Cease, trying to eliminate L.A. for the second time in the last 3 years. Detroit went with a bullpen game today, I caution, and it worked. It worked well. They shut out Cleveland 3-0. So Detroit takes a 2-1 lead in that series. Philadelphia and the Mets are scoreless in the top of the fourth inning in New York. Yankees and Royals also play today a little bit later on ahead of Dodgers-Padres with the first pitch shortly after 6 o'clock. Jesse Agler, Tony Gwynn Jr. will have the call. We're hoping to be joined by Tony in a little bit. We got a lot more for you between now and 5 o'clock. It's Gwynn and Chris broadcasting live right here from the loft at the top of the Western Metal Supply Company building on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
I can tell you this is big. This place, it got loud, man. And I told you, sometimes the bullpen are pitching, they can have a bad day too, and today they bounce back. I mean, one of our biggest strengths on our team is our pitching and our bullpen, and King grinded, and the bullpen kept that game right there, and I mean, it's an unbelievable job.
Xander Bogaerts last night after the Padres' victory over the Dodgers. Final score, Padres 6, Dodgers 5. Series stands 2-1 in favor of San Diego. That's the same way it is in the other National League series. The Mets are up 2-1 on the Phillies, but the Phillies have scored first in Game 4. Their first hit of the game, a double by Nick Castellanos, set up runners at second and third. And Alex Bohm, with a ground-out fielder's choice, brought home Bryce Harper with the first run of the game. So the Phillies lead the Mets 1-0, with the Mets now coming to bat in the bottom of the fourth inning. The Mets have already left the bases loaded twice in this game, in both the first and second inning. So we'll see if that comes back to haunt New York. But right now, 1-0 Philadelphia over the Mets in game number 4. Scrape, how are things back at the Odyssey Palace? Anything that I got
to
know?
Pretty boring, to be honest. I'm just like,
Where are you watching the game tonight? What's your plan?
I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch with Lucky. Because
you and Lucky tonight.
I haven't been around Lucky a lot lately. So last night he got a little mad at me. This morning on the walk, he rolled in poop again for like the 17th time in the last 2 weeks. So yeah, I'll be watching
with
that.
With all due respect, can't the owner of the dog help make that harder to accomplish for the dog?
You know,
like,
yes.
Can't you like steer him away from that stuff?
Yes, but I also have to be paying attention to everything that he's doing. So I sometimes stop paying attention and I turn around and he's rolling in coyote poop. Anyway, yes, I'm going to be
you
watching.
Stop
at home.
Paying attention to what he's doing.
Well, he's just frolicking in the bushes, and he's having fun. So,
all right. A couple of NFL notes to tide us over, but Tony, I believe, is on his way up to the booth, so should have Tony with us shortly. But the Saints are changing quarterbacks. Spencer Rattler going to take over for Derek Carr, who's now injured, oblique injury. Raiders are changing quarterbacks. Aiden O'Connell will be the starter. Gardner Minshew will be benched by Las Vegas. And Aaron
Rodgers.
Super Bowl
for them, by the way.
Sorry?
Said Super Bowl for the Raiders.
Super Bowl, yeah, probably not. Aaron Rodgers also says he now resents any talk that he had any hand in the exit of Robert Saleh.
He may not have actually said it.
I got to tell you, Aaron Rodgers, nobody believes you. Nobody.
I know. Nobody
does. We believe
that
Aaron Rodgers had full, you know, was fully behind the exit of Robert Saleh. Don't we?
I don't know if he was fully behind it, but I do know that he met with the owner a day before his head coach at the time, Robert Saleh, met with the owner. So there was something said in that meeting that Aaron Rodgers, you know, either it was notifying Aaron Rodgers that they were going to fire him or getting his opinion on what they should do. But Aaron Rodgers, yeah, you're right. He is very angry at anyone who thinks that he would even think about doing that.
Getting his coach fired.
Yes.
Yeah, but didn't you try to get your coach fired by not even showing up at the mini camp? I mean, wasn't
no,
that...
No, he had his trip. He just got his dates mixed up, Chris. He was using last year's calendar. He thought they were going to be the same.
I want to like Aaron Rodgers, man.
Me
but
too.
I just can't. A couple of other notes for you NFL fans out there. Michael Pittman's going to be out multiple weeks. Colts wide receiver. And bad news for the Texans, Nico Collins, the leading receiver in the league right now, goes on IR. So,
yeah.
A couple of NFL notes for you to tide you over. Tony's going to be with us shortly. We'll chat with him for the first time today. Crisello here in the loft at the Western Metal Supply Company building. It should be opening the doors at Petco Park soon. Man, come on down. Say hi before the game. I mean, this place is going to be an absolute madhouse. You know that. But why not? You know, just get knee deep in it tonight. We're partying, hopefully, all night in San Diego. And we'll get you set for it as we continue with more Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
Matt Coker here from West Coast Men's Health. Guys, if you're taking Viagra or any other pill for ED, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I want to continue to do this for the rest of my life? If you're like most men, the answer is no. Here at West Coast Men's Health, we can restore blood flow naturally without pumping your body full of chemicals like you've been doing. Guys, you need to come in today and fix this problem now. Why are you putting this off? Viagra's not going to magically start working next week, and you don't want to use shots.
Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Calm before the storm here at Petco Park. They should be opening the gates here in the next half hour. Broadcasting live, Crisello here in the Western Metal Supply Company building. Up top in the loft, Tony Gwynn Jr. has been getting it done all around Petco Park. And, of course, now that's a very nice ovation for Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yeah, I don't deserve one that ovation.
One that I'm sure he's very used to because, you know, he gets applauded wherever he goes. But Tony, last night's game, I could start in so many different places, but I'll start with Manny. You've said it a few dozen times this year. The thing that we don't speak about Manny is his baseball IQ.
Yeah.
Talk about his natural talent, his ability, and the hitting and the fielding. But man, was that IQ on display last night. That was an unbelievable base running play.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, the funny thing is, that, I mean, there are Hall of Famers out there that weren't aware of that rule. And he educated a bunch of people last night because I'm sure everybody. Was not everybody who wasn't a Padre fan was yelling at their screen saying, He's on the baseline. Well, you know, that's not the rule. You get 3 feet, establish your running line, and he used all 3 feet of it. And it was just a great baseball play that, you know, really propelled that inning to be what it was at that point. And so, you know, it's just, you know, we get to see it on an everyday basis, and so sometimes that means that type of thing flies under the radar. The good thing about the playoffs is that everything is so magnified that a play like that is like a top story deal because everything's so magnified. In the regular season, it might have been talked about, but it wouldn't have been talked about to this magnitude. But that led to a big inning for the Padres, and they're a game away from heading to the NLCS.
Yeah, I knew something was up when Dave Roberts didn't even come out to argue.
Nope.
Like, I was saying, where's Dave Roberts? He's got to at least come out and get an explanation from the umpires. But clearly Dave Roberts knew the rule. Freddie Freeman also did not argue, and he was the one who threw the baseball. The only one who argued was Miguel Rojas, just a little bit, the shortstop.
And his heart wasn't in it either. You could tell, like, that wasn't an adamant argument. Initially, the sight kind of throws you off, but I think as he started talking and thought about it, he knew. That's a rule specifically that they're emphasizing even more this year is having the 3 feet. Because remember, they took the kind of runway off of first base, so that's what's kind of brought it back to the forefront. And we talked a little bit about it during the early portion of the season, but it has worked out. It worked out as well as it could have last night for the Padres in that particular situation. And the Padres. That was like the 3 innings going 110 miles per hour, and then it settled into what we have come accustomed to in playoff baseball. Just some fine pitching on both sides. It just nothing was out there for any offense, but the Padres had put up enough early to make it hold.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When the Hernandez hit the grand slam, I mean, every person in that stadium thought, that's okay, 6-5 is not going to be the final score, right? Something else is going to happen.
No,
and,
did not.
You know, yeah, and that's why I wanted to – so let's go to Michael King because – you know, you and I like to say this as well, Tony. You can judge a guy sometimes better on what he does when he's not having a great game as opposed to what he does when he is having a great game. It's easy when all your pitches are working and you're buzzing through the lineup. But when you just give up a grand slam in the middle of a playoff game and you're standing out there, to be able to get your wits back about you and retire the next 8 in a row, That was big and really showed me a lot about Michael King.
I'm going to continue to keep harping on this. Nothing that we've seen on the Padres side is any different than what we saw in the regular season. And that's the beauty about 162. Inevitably, all of the characteristics come to the forefront at some point. They may not all be up at once. They might sporadically pop up, but those things pop up. We saw Michael King on a more than one start not have his best stuff, yet battle to get through 5 or battle and get through 7. Last night was just another one of those opportunities and another one of those examples where he didn't have his best stuff, gave up a granny to bring the game in within one, and then figured it out. And it's a characteristic that we've seen from him throughout the course of the year. And I'm just a firm believer the habits that you show or the characteristics that you show during the course of 162 should pop up during this time of year. And for the Padres, it has gone as well as you could have asked to this point.
Yeah, obviously after Michael King, the bullpen was, you know, sensational and got the job done. And Suarez finished it up and you know, you go up ahead in the series. Two more guys I want to mention, Tony, and then, you know, some general thoughts from you and, you know, your broadcast last night. But one is...
I got a lot to say about my broadcast.
Oh, no, okay. I'll save Fernando for last because he's the easiest one to talk about, I think.
Yeah.
The play that Jackson Merrill made, beating the play to second base on the ground ball that Rojas, you know, tagged the base too late. And I'm not so sure Rojas didn't injure his ankle on that play. I don't know where he got hurt. But I can't tell you how many times you see guys on first base on a ground ball, you know, run to second base, but don't really have their heart in it and don't even, you know, make that a play. And Jackson Merrill, I shouldn't be surprised, right? Because he's been playing like this all year. But that's a great instinct and just never giving up anything for granted, Tony. And that was another big play in that inning.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I'm not giving any extra credit for running to the second base that you're supposed to and running hard. I think that's kind of the job of a professional. But, I mean, that's how Jackson plays. So, I mean, we shouldn't be surprised that he was going full tilt in a playoff game. Of course, I would hope in your first home playoff game in the NLDS at least that you are running hard. And that's what he did. That's what these guys are doing really all over the place. I mean, you know, it is so fun to watch a team that is sold out. We heard this from Jason Adler. They sold out to winning, you know, and that's kind of what we see. And Jackson Merrill is just a good example of that. Again, you kind of already said it, but that's something we've seen from him all year. It hasn't changed. You know, it's one thing to, you know, come into a playoff series after having a great year and, like, just struggle, you know, and that's in terms of the production. But there are guys, if you go up and down this lineup, who are struggling, but you wouldn't know it because of the way they're playing the game. Like, Jerickson's not swinging the bat great. Manny's not swinging the bat great. But they're affecting the game somehow, some way. You know, that's one of the things you hear from a coach when you're coming up through the minor leagues and even when you're in the big leagues. Like, all right, yeah, you're struggling. Everybody's going to struggle, but do something to affect the game. Do something to affect winning. And you know, not everybody's having a series like Fernando. Not everybody's swinging it like Jackson or Peralta, for that matter, or Kyle Gashioka. But there are some guys who are struggling, yet we still are talking about them. And that's I think that's a good sign of a winning team, and that's what we've seen from the Padres and their four victories in the postseason so far.
Tony, Fernando's OPS is 1970.
Yes,
I expect Scraby to play the Turn Back Time song for reference. To 1970, I think the Orioles won the World Series, but that's neither here nor there. What is amazing is that anybody would have an OPS of 1970. It's only five games, but four home runs in those five games. More impressive than that, no strikeouts, Fernando.
Yeah.
And were you surprised, as I was, that the Dodgers decided to go with a third fastball on 0-2 last night?
It's just a bad fastball. I'm not surprised that they went with a fastball, but the possibility of you missing is always factored in, and he missed. He missed badly. And he was ahead. Like, that's not where you want to be. That's not where you want to be making that pitch in that particular count. And he paid for it. And right now, listen, there are times where really good hitters, you know, aren't, like, locked in. They may foul that off. You know, may miss that. That is not Toddy right now. as dialed in as you can be, he's that right now. And I've said it a number of times on our broadcast. He is built for this type of environment. This is when he does his best work. I remember a couple years ago, he made his first trip to New York, and I think he went top deck in that game. And it's those type of moments that I consistently see him on big stages do this kind of thing. And so, I mean, he's having an incredible postseason right now. It's quite ridiculous.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll continue to be. You know, when he's not swinging at the outside pitch, how does he not do that? And then how does he do it when he is swinging at the outside pitch? Like, what's the difference from a batter's perspective so that we can maybe understand, like, he's not even going for that pitch right now. It's you know, and other times he goes for it and strikes out.
I mean, it's just kind of when you're locked in, when you're not. You know, I mean, how long can you maintain being that locked in when you're not chasing it? We see Manny do it for months at a time where he's not chasing that outside pitch, and that's usually when he goes on that tear. you know, postseason is about a month, basically. And so if you could carry that, if he can carry that through the rest of the postseason, I think everybody would be pretty happy with it. I don't know that there's an explanation. I think as a hitter, there's just times where you just feel great and you are locked in and you seeing the ball out of the hand well. And you know, in this case, they're so familiar with the opponent, too. That's the other thing that's factored in. You kind of understand what they're trying to do to you. And so all of that stuff plays a factor in being able to kind of lay off pitches and kind of get what you're looking for. And that's how, there's no one more dialed in right now than Toddy. I mean, he is amazing to watch at the plate right now, and defensively for that matter.
So how should we look ahead to tonight, Tony? I think some of us are.
I can tell.
I think most of us are pretty excited, but we got to caution because there's still another game here.
Yeah, no, there's definitely another game, and this is still a good Dodger team. I know the Padres have taken it to them, but as you saw last night, they ain't going to go away. I know for myself, I'm not going to have a cold brew today. I think I am going to just have Coke and maybe a light bit of coffee beforehand. That cold brew had me – that was probably the worst broadcast I've ever done in my life last night. I felt – I've never done crack, but that felt like something along those lines. I'm not even going to lie. I felt so terrible throughout that entire game because of that cold brew I had. So that's what I'm not going to do.
That sounds scary.
Well, I missed this. Why did you have a cold brew?
He told us yesterday he was shaking.
I told you guys yesterday I was like jittery and
oh, yeah.
Just not feeling great. And so I hadn't eaten anything when I talked to you, so I ate, and I felt a little bit better, but it was still overwhelming. Gosh, that was it was bad. It was bad, man. I don't wish that anxiety feeling among nobody with all that caffeine in me. So I'm a chill.
Well, we'll all have that anxiety for you tonight, I mean, because we're going to be sweating out the game. I've always found that broadcasting is a relaxing thing to do.
It was supposed to be.
Yeah, I'd rather be able to talk through the game than, you know, when you're sitting in your seat and you're just like dying.
Yeah,
that's slow death.
That's
on
not
every
an
pitch.
Enjoyable way to watch a baseball game, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of us are going to watch tonight's game like that, praying that at the end,
Wait,
you know, it's another party.
Why would you guys
party.
Watch the game that way? I mean, did you watch the game like that yesterday?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. Well, if you watch,
I sweat
it like
out
that
everything.
Yeah.
I okay. sweat out everything, unless they can. You know, the only look. The only time I haven't sweated during the series was about the eighth and ninth inning of game two when they got ahead 7-1. And last night they got ahead 6-1, but that didn't, you know, that didn't last very long. So
I think this is the if there was ever a team to feel confident in based on their body of work and how they got to it, this is probably that team. So I feel good. I felt good about this team for a long time now. And I just this is a good ball club, and they play right. So unless something changes, unless we start, you know, see them do some things out of character, like, you know, kick the ball around or chase pitches, or not even chase pitch, strike out a lot, something they don't do very much of, I don't think there's a lot to be worried. That's not a disrespect to the Dodgers or anybody else. I just have watched this team so much that I feel like I kind of know what's going to happen on most nights. And maybe that's fool's gold. I don't know.
No, I don't think it is. I think we should be confident. There's no question about that. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. We are broadcasting live. I'm at the Loft here at Petco Park. Tony, of course, is up and getting ready for the call with Jesse Agler tonight. Do you think in the top of the first inning, Tony, that when Mookie Betts comes to bat, maybe Jerks and Profar ought to just go stand in the second row of the left field seats?
Just stand on top of the wall?
Yeah, what are the odds that that's going to happen 3 days in a row? I mean, come on. How did that happen 2 days in a row?
I was about to say, the mere fact that it happened 2 days in a row is wild to me. I mean, same exact spot. I'm almost positive the ball hit the same exact part of the glove. He just couldn't catch it this time.
Yeah.
I got to say.
I mean, because he didn't catch the first one, like, perfectly clean. Like, he caught it, like, the very end of the glove, which is why my man was trying to get it out of his glove. I mean, that was nuts. That's how bad Mookie's luck had been. He was already running off the field assuming
he
caught
it. I want to ask about that. Now,
yeah.
How, when does, like, when did he, could he be deemed as out of the base path? Like, once you hit a home run, you...
I don't know that there's a base path. Like, I mean...
Because he ran across the mound, or the diamond, and then he had to go back to second. Was it because
he ran
didn't pass
partly
second?
Across the diamond.
Okay.
And then went back. Like, he got about 5 steps onto the grass. He was about, I don't know, just not quite halfway between second and third, but he got... like there before he realized it was a homer.
That does tell
you
about
nice
where
of Michael
his
King
at.
To tell. It was very nice of Michael King to tell him, you know, you hit a home run off me, you can run around now.
Go ahead, man. You got it.
Mookie was the most surprised guy in the ballpark, though, that was a home run. So, yeah, that's something to look for. You know, another thing we talked about, Tony, scouting report, you know, I did, you did, but the fact that Tanner Scott would wind up facing Shohei, and those would be big matchups in this series. Last night, I mean, to strike this guy out looking to lead off the eighth inning, I mean, you know, look, so far advantage Tanner Scott, and we got to hope that can hold up, because I wouldn't be surprised if they face each other again tonight in an important situation.
Oh, I mean, if the situation is there, they will face each other. There's no question at this point. The Padres might have the only kryptonite to Shohei Ohtani anyway at this point, so... You know, why not use them as much as you possibly can? We'll see if the matchup presents itself, but I expect this to be a close game. I expect both sides to fight like, you know, Padres want to end it, Dodgers want to stay alive. I expect the game to resemble that.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that.
I'm sorry.
I was waiting for not even Scraby's silly enough to believe that the Padres can win by a bunch of runs tonight. Right, Scrape?
No, I think
certainly,
they're
going to
win.
They certainly can win by a bunch of runs. I just don't expect it.
I think it's going to be 12-0.
12-0.
There you go. There you go.
No, when Teoscar Hernandez hit that grand slam last night, because no one really knew how far it was hit because it was hit so high, but Jackson made it look like it was going to be caught, and then it went over.
Yeah, Jackson... Jackson had me messed up on that one, too, because he actually he took a sidestep, like he went across.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. And then he retreated backwards. So I'm thinking, okay, if he went across and now he's going back, this ball couldn't have been hit that good. But then he didn't even I know he jumped, but it went over the second wall that's behind it. So it wasn't even it wasn't even close, to be quite frank.
I know. Yeah, it said in the paper today that it was very, you know, closely, just barely made it over. It made it over by a pretty good margin.
Yeah, no, he wasn't anywhere near that baseball.
Yeah, that was one of the worst pitches Michael King could ever throw. And I go back to that event, that at bat a little bit, Tony, and I'm sure you remember it, but he got ahead 0-2, and then he came with two sinkers or fastballs. And I thought, again, it's Teoscar Hernandez. I got to throw him that sweeper on 0-2 and get him to chase. Because that's your pitch. But I don't know if Michael King had 100% confidence in the sweeper last night. Betts hit the home run on a sweeper, and then obviously the one to Teoscar. So, you know, I was surprised he didn't go with it earlier in that at bat, but that's just part of the thinking of baseball and how everything is so, like we said, magnified in the postseason.
I mean, he certainly punched Ohtani out the first at bat with it.
And
It was nasty. So I don't know that he didn't think he had confidence in it. I think obviously when Betts hits it, it kind of changes your feeling. The one he threw a sweeper to Hernandez, that one was left up. And if you go back to April, that was the pitch that he was having the most difficulty with, and why the homers were coming a lot of times was on that sweeper. So either way, he figured it out. Terrific job by Michael King. Gave his team a chance. Now they got a chance to put the Dodgers night-night.
We hope so. We got an hour to go. Happy hour coming up next from Petco Park. Gwynn and Chris. Russell Dorsey from MLB Network will be one of our guests. Stick with us on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!